Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
It's been an interesting week in South Africa between the Aces and the Bushiris. We can get whiplash.
Now that we have a shepherd, you know, we must allow his flock to follow him. Shouldn't we all be going to Malawi?
I think it's like the promised land, isn't it? He has now gone on pilgrimage, I think, to Malawi. And it says, and the fact that we question him really does say a lot about our own faith or lack thereof.
I want to actually comment on how cool our criminals' names are in South Africa. Ace and Shepherd. These are That's not true. Johns and Michael and Stephen. If you're going to be a criminal, you need a proper cool name.
Yeah. So Howard, if you were a criminal, what would yours be?
Say Howard.
No, you can't. Howard is like the least criminal. I mean, maybe a little bit of white collar crime. You know what
here
I mean? But
that's,
but it's so boring. It is so boring. Oh gosh, you left something off your tax, your income tax statement. But no, so I think we need names. I think we need names from our listeners. What would Howard Sexton be if he were to be a criminal? And what would my name be? Lynn, we've got to come up with something for you as well. Mm-hmm. We can't let you get away with not having a cool criminal name. But how do you really do raise an interesting point? Ace, the shepherd, or the prophet, you know, depending on how you look
but
at it.
But like the prophet is more a job title, like doctor or professor.
I hear it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think shepherd. I do think shepherd is cooler than in the criminal world. Not that I'm a great expert at that, but I would imagine you get more street cred from shepherd than from the prophet. I don't know.
Well, I'm not entirely sure there's street cred in the name prophet or in the name shepherd. Like it's not something while you're in the jailhouse, like beating up, stabbing someone in the showers section.
Yes.
That's, ooh, we fear. Shepherd.
But you definitely fear Ace.
Definitely, yeah. Or maybe there should be someone called Clubs.
Yeah, well, if someone gives me the name Hearts, well, then I'm done. Then I'm out of here.
Then we're checking you into the woman's prison.
Exactly. You know, Howard of Hearts. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. That just doesn't sound rough.
So he's really dangerous. He's going to kill you with affection.
Right. Exactly. No danger there, I can assure you. So, but it is interesting, and I've just released an article on News 24 about the fact that the ANC is so totally outraged and horrified by the shepherds. But at the end of the day, they haven't been nearly as horrified about their own internal corruption, have they?
No, but let's face it. What we're watching here is not really crime unfold. The shepherds are the Kim Kardashians of crime.
Oh, I like that.
This is about like People magazine. We're just fascinated. This high-flying couple, there's lots of money involved. It's glamour and glitz and criminality. It's like Hollywood of the 1930s. And that's why we like it so much. We're not really interested in the fact that they're really criminals. We don't really care about genuine corruption or crime or murder or rape. Those things are just much too gruesome. We just like the People magazine version of crime. And that's what the Bushiris really are. The glitzy motor cars, the 5 passports, the escaping maybe on a private jet. This is Hollywood movie stuff, and that's why we love it so much. We can't take this seriously. This is a mere entertainment distraction.
But government is taking it seriously. They're taking it very seriously. I mean, we haven't had so much anger coming out of government departments
since when?
I don't even know.
Never.
You know, we weren't angry.
They too are playing to the crowd.
And
the crowd,
do you think it's not sincere?
Is loving it.
Yeah.
You know, why is it that certain crimes seem to attract our attention and our interest? Well, you know, we love the sort of thing.
Yeah, so it's interesting what you're saying. Do you think that the government actually is almost doing an EFF here, where they're taking a particular issue and just milking it because it diverts attention away from anything that's just too complicated to deal with?
sure, it's near the end of the year. We need some light, good entertainment. We've already binge-watched The Crown on Netflix. We're running out of other things to watch, so we've got the Boucheries.
Interesting. I'd love your thoughts on it. 3451 9 or 0618951019. Howard Sexton, Karen says she thinks babyface.
For whom?
For Howard Sexton.
Oh, no, that could be a very dangerous name for me. I feel like I would be, was it Mayor Lansky or who was it?
Yes.
Who was killed in the barbershop in Vegas while he was being shaved.
Yes. Oh, look, I don't know. Somehow we like a good rogue, don't we? We're drawn to it. I mean, I'm not particularly outraged about the Boucheries, maybe because they didn't steal from me. Mm-hmm. But maybe you're right. Maybe it's because they've got all of this money and allure and they seem to, borders and laws don't seem to apply to them. And really they've never killed anyone. They haven't maimed anyone as far as we know. Maybe that's what it is. We somehow are drawn to these lovable rogues. Do you think that's what they are?
And did they potentially sneak into the private presidential jet of the Malawian president?
Oh, there's no doubt. I don't think there was very much sneaking. I think they hitched a ride, even though our government denies it. The fact that the Malawian president met, and that, I think, why they're so upset by it, the ANC, the fact that the Malawian president met with Cyril Ramaphosa the evening before they disappeared back to Malawi, strikes me just as being a little bit too coincidental.
In the movie version of this escape, I think Lindiwe may well play the role of Mrs. Boucheries, dressed in maybe an air hostess clothes as she gets on and serves drinks to the Malawian president and then goes to sit down in the back seat and reveals that she's Mrs. Boucheries.
This movie version I like.
I like this as well.
I like it.
Yeah, who's going to play the prophet?
Look, I suppose Brad Pitt is completely out, eh?
Wow.
No, but the EFF won't handle that. They won't handle that. No, because it just says everything, you know, about that. Yeah, because it's a colonial sort of misrepresentation of even criminality in South Africa and Africa. So no, I don't think we can.
No,
we could not have that at all.
But you know, what are we actually talking about? The truth is, we actually can't take these things too seriously. It's nearly the end of a really hard year, and we just need to actually take a step back and poke fun at all of these things happening around us and just appreciate that we've survived 8 months of chaos.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. It's very hard. And Howard, I don't know what you're seeing in a work environment. We were chatting about it yesterday. People are done earlier this year than before. And to motivate people and to inspire people now in the middle of November all the way through to mid-December is presenting to be much more challenging this year than in other years. I mean, that's my observation. What are you seeing?
I think people have just had it at this point in time. People just need a break, want a break. They've had it up to there, and the last month of the year seems to be just dragging and dragging. And what do? You know, at this time of year, normally you're celebrating, you're having Christmas parties or Hanukkah parties in your work. And you're not going to do that this year because you're not going to gather all the people together and you're not going to place them at risk. And so all of those milestones that we usually have at this point in time, they're just not there.
It's actually very true. I didn't think of that you really are normally exhausted simply from all of the year-end functions, call them Christmas, Hanukkah, year-end, no matter what it is. We are normally attending a lot of these things, closing off, whether it's with customers or departments. We normally are doing a lot of this type
and
of thing.
It's always that high that we look forward to at the end of the year, and I think we're really struggling to find it this year.
you know, we normally have a celebration at work where everyone comes and decorates the Christmas tree together. Mm-hmm. And then we have a Hanukkah lighting celebration. And then we have a charity drive. We normally adopt an orphanage and we do a charity drive for the orphanage and we go deliver gifts to the kids and we have our end of year function. And all these are all important milestones along, and you're taking clients out for lunch and for dinner, and there's none of that this year. Mm. Almost the festive cheer of the end of the year and all those milestones that you mark have suddenly disappeared and evaporated. And that's making a very different end of the year now. And people are just exhausted.
So do you think that's what gives us that energy normally? I'm just thinking about it because I'm trying to figure a way to address it. Do you think that's what normally gives us that little boost of energy, knowing, okay, so I'm going to work today, but at lunch, I'm going to meet a whole lot of people. We're going to sit outside and we're going to have a drink or two. And so it adds something different and exciting to my day. Do you think that's part of the reason? Could well be.
I think that's exactly the reason at this point in time. And now everyone's panicking. Well, are we going on holiday? No one's quite decided yet. Where do you go on holiday? How do you do it safely? Do you fly? Do you drive? And people are still grappling with all of these decisions. And it's the middle of November. You know, the sort of decisions you would have made 2-3 months ago. And people say, oh, it's just too much hassle. Maybe I'm just staying home.
Mm. And in fact, bad news for a lot of our listeners and for me included is there was an article yesterday on EWN. The Western Cape government on Tuesday issued an urgent COVID-19 hotspot alert. Drumroll for the garden route. Mm. President Cyril Ramaphosa also singled out the reason when addressing the nation. Provincial authorities said that they were concerned over a rapid rise in infections in George, Knysna, and Beto. What's Beto?
Beto is Plettenberg Bay.
No.
No, it can't be. Jews don't go to Beto. They go to Plettenberg Bay, Howard. Nobody goes to Beto.
Then it's safe. If we call it by its name,
Plett.
It's fine.
It's fine. It's not in Plett. It's in Beto.
Oh.
Yeah, Jews don't go there.
The fact that we're calling it Plett instead of Beto is...
Oh, no, fine. No,
it's fine. Jews.
It's all in the name. It's like okay.
Yes.
Shepherd.
It's obviously right. The other side of
Plett. Yeah, that you wouldn't go past
anyway. No, I'm sure not. No. No, I've never heard anybody say what you're doing in December. I'm going to Beto. Never, okay. Never. How have you ever heard anyone say that?
I haven't, but I know a lot of people go wandering into Beto, into the townships, looking for drugs.
Ah, all right. Well, there you have it.
This is how Plettenberg Bay works. They don't deliver drugs to your home in Plett. You have to actually go into the local township to go find.
That is completely unacceptable.
Absolutely unacceptable.
No, you think Plettenberg Bay would be first world, but it's not.
So you can't even Uber it. There's no Mr. Delivery
kind of
thing. I
don't know if is Uber in Plett.
Well, I don't know. No, Plett has
a worrisome. Sure. This entire thing is very worrisome. But you know, the figures in both the Western Cape and the Eastern Cape are very worrisome at the moment. And like Plett is right in the middle between the two over there. And Western Cape, problems. We have to be careful. And I don't know if you saw Black Coffee performed on the weekend in Illovo.
No, it wasn't.
Thousands of people, well, maybe not thousands, but probably 1,000 people, not a mask in sight, in the middle of Illovo, half of our listeners in the crowds in the pictures that you can see.
Oh, my word.
And, you know, there's certain areas of Johannesburg that are Wuhan, and I think we need to name them. If you're going to Greenhouse in Rosebank, or if you're going to Illovo, to where Black Coffee is performing, and if you're there without a mask, Johannesburg will look exactly the way that Beto's looking at the moment.
Mm. It's actually very, very concerning because we are all so fatigued by this, and we just are so desperate for a little bit of normal. But unfortunately, normal is not here yet. It just isn't.
And you know, what do you tell a matric kid who wants to go to Rage? You know, how do you deprive them of that? You've deprived them of their matric dance. You've deprived them of every other milestone this year. That last day of school, the fact that you usually get expelled at King David on your last day of school anyway. It's just one of those marks of honor.
Yeah, right.
And yes. You didn't get an opportunity to get expelled.
I do feel that, and I've said it a number of times on the show, that the group that have suffered most are our kids. It's every single year when there's something exciting to look forward to, that they've been deprived of. The matrics in particular have had an incredibly hard year. And I think they've had the added stress of knowing that, you know, we've got to be so careful because we can get to the end of the year, have done everything, and then we can't write exams because somebody's got COVID in our environment. So it's been a very, very hard year. And as you say, it's very difficult. We chatted last week to David Abramson, psychologist, about rage, and he's saying, look, this year the dangers are significant. He fully understands why kids desperately want to go and why parents desperately want to let them go, but he is personally very concerned, and he thinks that if at all possible, if the kids should be avoiding it this year. So add the alcohol element to it, and it just becomes almost impossible to manage.
You know, it's been a tough year, but I want to tell you just about how I suffered over the last few days.
Oh, gosh, tell us.
I came back from the bush last night.
Oh, yes.
I spent last weekend at the Mdluli Luxury Tented Safaris, just at the Numbi Gate, where the Johannesburg Philharmonic Orchestra played in the middle of the bush. And as they were playing, Sable were running past them in the bush.
Oh my word.
And it was just one of those remarkable, magical experiences that are just so unique. And here you had like all 30 members of the Joburg Philharmonic Orchestra playing at this luxury tented safari with infinity pools overlooking and their elephants just in front over there and the sables roaming and herds of buffalo coming in behind them. And like, you must think these animals must be so confused. What is this weird noise emanating as they're playing Mozart and Beethoven from the deck of the lodge? It was just
incredible. But what's amazing is that they obviously were not put off by the music. I found that quite interesting.
Yeah, they seem to be fascinated. I mean, it's such an unusual sound, but like to see Sable at the best of times is quite a unique experience.
I was just going to say, you know, it's Sable is not something that you see every day.
But to see the Sable run past the Philharmonic is oh my goodness, that's an amazing experience.
Unbelievable. And absolutely unbelievable. Howard Saxton at 7:28. We do need to leave it there. Absolutely awesome to chat to you. We'll catch you next week. I'm Howard Feldman.